What is going on, everybody? It is Tuesday, February 20th. Combat Series 6, the UFC 298 recap. Hope everybody's having a good start to their week. What a fun event as we ramp things up towards UFC 300. Amazing card, as everybody predicted. Everybody predicted it would be exciting start to finish, much like the UFC 297 card that was absolutely loaded and started hot at the first fight as well as in UFC 298. And that's what I'm most excited about these next upcoming cards is you really have no build-up. You get action right from the beginning of the card. And I've said it before, I'm really worried about the drop-off after UFC 300 and what Dana White's plans are there. But as promised, I want to keep these the UFC combat episodes a little bit shorter as trying to get more fans in here. And you know, this is a sport that's not it's just growing. And what a way to get hooked to it by tossing some lunch money down and I don't want to say get addicted to gambling, but, you know, having some fun with it. The first fight of the night, and I'm going to do this the same exact way as I did the last pay-per-view in which, and UFC 297, I graded each and every fight. I gave them a grade, and then I gave the overall card a GPA score, averaged out the grade. So UFC 297, and I wanted to grade these tough. I'm not trying to grade them, give them any sort of easiness factor or fluff the scores. I gave UFC 297 a B minus, and I really liked UFC 297. So UFC 298, let's get after it. First fight of the night on the main card, the pay-per-view card. We went to the middleweight division, number 15, Anthony Hernandez versus unranked Roman Kopylov. And I graded this fight a B plus. Anthony Hernandez was able to, he really dominated the fight and had a second round finish. But, you know, I felt like there were a lot of like failed submission attempts there, a little bit of sloppy work. The fight IQ is just not there yet to finish at the first opportunity. And I'll be honest, like, he kind of let Roman off the hook a couple times. And Roman's a dangerous fighter, even though he's unranked. We were on the side of Roman Kopylov. Moneyline, I had a feeling that fluffy Anthony Hernandez was going to win the fight, but I couldn't turn down the value at 210, plus 210 on the money line for Roman Kopylov. So we took our first loss of the night, but I gave it a B plus. Moving on. Second fight of the night, we went to the bantamweight division. My hero, number 3, Henry Cejudo, taking on, and I'm going to botch it again, number 2, Merab Dvalishvili. That is as close as I'm going to get. I gave this fight an A minus. Everybody, my friends know I'm as big of a Henry Cejudo fan as anyone, really. Plus 180 on the money line. We took another L, and, you know, this is one of those things that Father Time is crept up on Henry Cejudo. Dana White came out and said, you know, one of the dumbest things Henry Cejudo could have done is retire during his prime. He really took 2.5 or 3 years off. And now with the back-to-back losses to Aljamain Sterling and now Merab Dvalishvili, I don't know where he's at in this division. And, you know, he pretty much said that if I lose this fight, I'm retiring because the pathway to the pathway to the title fight really just isn't there. So, and I'm in agreement. He drops a 10-4 in the UFC now, loser of his last two. You know, this is a tough spot for Henry, and I really think retirement is a real thing this time. On the other side of things, Merab Dvalishvili, what a win! He toyed with him. I'm such a Henry Cejudo fan that, you know, I felt like some of the way that Merab was acting was downright disrespectful, but to be honest with you, it was Merab's night, and he could do whatever he wanted, and he did just that. Make no mistake, Triple C is one of the greatest combat athletes of all time. There's no way other way that you can slice it. His resume is absolutely incredible. He'll be in the UFC Hall of Fame one day. He'll be in the USA Wrestling Hall of Fame. I have to check on that. If he's not already there, he will be. But there's a situation brewing at Bantamweight where Dana White is not a big fan of Merab because he's turned down an opportunity to fight his friend. Merab said he won't fight his friend in that weight class. Well, Dana's pretty much said, you fight who we tell you to. So a little bit of a roadblock there. I don't know which friend he was talking about. I didn't dive too deep into that. But nonetheless, I gave this fight an A minus. And I feel like I'm going to give the A. I'm giving the A minus because I still thought we saw some flashes from Henry. Merab just put on an absolute performance. A minus. So we've got a B plus, A minus, and 0-2 on gambling on the night. Third fight of the night, we went to the welterweight division. Number 8, Jeff Neal versus number 10, Ian Garry. And you know what? I wanted to see, you know, Ian Garry, you know, take on a guy in the top 10 and have a impressive performance. And I said it on the podcast that I felt like Jeff Neal was a dangerous fighter, and I was almost tempted to take another moneyline dog on a card which all the favorites won the entire night. The favorites were just destroyed. And comment was made to me earlier today by Brian Nagel. I am not going to recommend you guys just take in a chalk picks of moneyline favorites. I promise you I'll lose you money. And I'll lose you a lot of money. And this is a card that I lost money again. And I'll get to that again. But I'm going to explain where, you know, if you're going to do this, you're going to be in for the long haul of taking small losses and then have a big night. This fight in particular, I could not go strictly chalk and just take in Ian Garry because Ian Garry was minus 230 on the money line. I didn't think that there was a way Ian Garry was going to finish Jeff Neal. I didn't see it happening. I thought that Ian Garry was going to point Jeff Neal, and that's exactly what he did. And, you know, these types of fights don't sell. Yes, he's doing all the social media stuff and the trash talking. That stuff sells. But at the end of the day, you know, what happens in behind the closed doors of the cage is really going to show what type of resume and what type of fighter you are. And he literally pointed Jeff Neal. Neal couldn't cut him off. He baited him into his range, and he pointed him. I gave this fight a D plus. You can tell me it was an impressive, clean win by Ian Garry, but he didn't do anything to finish that fight. From my memory, I don't even remember the fight going to the ground at all. I could be wrong. I don't remember it going to the ground. I don't remember anything in particular other than the pointing. That pointing is a part of the game. I am fully unaware of that. But it doesn't sell. It doesn't sell. He can't. The next fight, I want him to see him fight against someone again in the like number 5 to number 10 range. I mean, what does he move up? Does he move up to 9? He's number 10 right now, and do they essentially swap places? I mean, Jeff Neal was coming off of, you know, he got submitted by Shavkat Rakhmonov, who I'm a big fan of, last year, and then he was on his deathbed in the ICU and fought all the way back, but I don't know. I gave it a D+. Moving on, middleweight. This fight was awesome. This fight was awesome. Number 3, Robert Whittaker, the Reaper, versus number 6, Paulo Costa. Listen, the biggest battle for Paulo Costa is getting him to fight. I said it. There was going to be potentially some ring rust. He had a lot of injuries and inactivity. He looked good. He had Robert Whittaker, I believe, at the end of the second round. Dazed and confused with, and Robert was essentially, in my opinion, saved by the bell, but we've seen it in his career of him taking these massive punches and just somehow surviving. Robert Whittaker did not absolutely need a win here, but he needed it to stay in the title picture, which, you know, he's probably chomping at the bit to get a rematch versus Dricus du Plessis, who's the champion right now. But I don't know. He's at least still in the top three, maybe a number one contender fight in the mix. But I gave this fight an A-. I'd like to see a little bit more activity out of Paul Acosta the rest of the year. Obviously, he hasn't fought very much in the past couple of years. Roberts has stayed active, and that's a big, big, big win. Big win. All righty. What did I say? I gave it an A-. I gave that fight an A-, and we had Robert Whittaker by decision. So two back-to-back picks. We had Ian Garry by decision and Robert Whittaker by decision. That put us at 2-2 on the night, and it put us plus in the plus money, which is always awesome. Anytime you can take plus money out of UFC, you've done very, very well. Last but not least, the title fight that everybody was excited for, Volkanovski Cards sell, Ilya Topuria. Now, as the winner, is going to sell. And the way he sold himself after the fight, he's saying absolutely no rematch versus Volkanovski. He absolutely dominated Volkanovski, second round knockout. He moves to 15-0, 7-0 in the UFC. And Alexander Volkanovski, prior champion, never lost at featherweight, drops to 26-4, and now 13-3 in UFC. And use this tidbit. I dug this up today, and I could not figure out who the one win was. Now in UFC history, at 170 pounds or less, and over the age of 35, UFC fighters are now 1-22 in title fights. Tommy Trusnik came to me and told me, you know what, Volkanovski's old, I'm on top of her. I'm like, man, I just can't do it. I can't get on the side of betting against a guy like Volkanovski who had never lost at the featherweight division. We were on Volkanovski minus 125. Obviously, that's a loser. We were UFC 297. We were minus 0.84 units. Little slightly better here. Minus 0.65 units. We're now 4-6 on our picks on the year, which is 40%. And we're minus 1.49 units. So essentially down over two cards, 1.49. All we have to do is hit one pick on dog money line, or maybe I pick one of the submissions right or a knockout right, and you're right there. Big shout out to David Soucy. David Soucy showed me a pick, and I know he listens to the podcast. He's a big time corrector and helps me out with errors. But the attention to detail, you guys, when you reach out to me and let me know if I've said something wrong, I appreciate you. But when you send me a winning pick, I believe he had Topuria knockout in the second round. Awesome, awesome job. And he crushed all over the place on a couple different parlays that night. The guys that have been cooking up these UFC parlays, I want to see you in the Discord with those picks before the card starts. State of the featherweights. All right, so now we have, I'm going to do a state of the featherweight, just like I did the state of, I believe, in 297, I did the state of the middleweight division. I'm going to do the state of the featherweight division. And obviously, we have the champion, Topuria. Volkanovski has dropped to the number one contender spot, but Topuria wants to fight in Spain. Also, Dana White wants to go back to Australia. He has said that Volkanovski will not get a rematch, or I'm sorry, Topuria has said there will be no rematch. Man, I think that the fight to make now is obviously Max Holloway's held up by the BMF title, I believe, at UFC 300 versus Justin Gaethje. I'm interested in seeing Max Holloway versus Topuria. Volkanovski obviously ran through number three, Yair Rodriguez. Brian, number four, Brian Ortega, is just he has a massive following, massive fan base. But I don't know how. I mean, I think if I'm looking down this list here, like the only Mavzar, Evlov, Arnold Allen, Josh Emmett, Calvin Kattar, like the only guy there I really want to see versus Topuria next is maybe Movsar Evlov, and he's ranked number 5 right now. I don't like Topuria versus I don't like a rematch. I like him against Holloway. Holloway's a bit older. I really don't like Yair Rodriguez. Brian Ortega, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Max Holloway is only 32. He would not fit that over 35 bill of being 1-22 in the title fights. It's a tough spot. It's not really a... I don't want to say it's not a deep division because I like a lot of these guys. Ortega's only 32. I don't know. It's Topuria's weight class right now. UFC 299 is next. Working behind the scenes to get a fighter on that card on this show. He'll get his own episode. He will not be on the preview, so we'll talk to him. I'm excited about that. I got to get it scheduled. Not saying who just yet because I don't want to ruin any surprises. And the big announcement for UFC 300, Jamahal Hill versus Alex Pereira for the light heavyweight title, a title that Hill had vacated due to injury. Pereira moving up from middleweight to light heavyweight, and everybody knows how I feel about him. He's just a freak animal. He's a killer. I'm so incredibly excited for 300. But that card has two title fights on there. BMF title. It's just loaded. I'm running through it right now. Like Calvin Kattar and Aljamain Sterling's exciting. My guy Cody Brundage taking on Bo Nickel. Davison Figueroa and Cody Garbrandt. Holly Holm versus Kayla Henderson. I think Kayla Harrison is from Bellator coming over. I mean, this fight, Jim Miller. Jim Miller's on the card. He's opening up the card, and he's fought on UFC 100 and 200, and he'll be coming to UFC 300 as well. Guys, I gave the last fight of the night. I gave it an A. Sorry, I got off track there. Gave it an A, which gave the overall grade. What do I have here? Overall grade for the card was a B+. So UFC 297 got a B-. UFC 298 got a B+. And honestly, it would have been higher if I'd have graded Jeff Neal and Ian Garry a little lighter. But let me know. I mean, I gave Fluffy and Roman a B+. Merab and Cejudo, A-. Garry, Neal, D+. Whitaker, Costa, A-. And then the main event, Volkanovski and Topuria, an A. Let me know what you guys think of those grades. I'm going to keep doing these for each one of the pay-per-views. I hope you enjoy them. And we will see you next time for a regular episode of the Tail Goats Podcast. I will hand this over to my famous Jameis.
You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
This has been another Tail Goats Podcast, powered by Go Cleveland Productions.